sugya for today is the very halachic one. Can you get the sheet? Yeah, it's the very halachic sugya of the bracha on medication. However, the request was made by a couple of people that I at least just finish off a little bit of the tour that we did yesterday, some of the answers to the stira that we had in the tour yesterday. Not the stira, but the problem that the tour seems to go against our Gemara. So again, let's just chazer over what that question that we left off with yesterday was when it comes to yayin. Tosos had said that mikan mashma, that it's aser to drink wine on Erev Pesach min hamincha lemaila, but if you're going to drink, you better drink a lot, because our Gemara came to the conclusion that when you drink a lot, it will make you more hungry, but when you drink very little, it will fill you up, and you will not be hungry. So it makes sense, therefore, what Tosfos says, that on Erev Pesach, when you're trying to make sure that you're hungry to fulfill the mitzvos halayla, and that's what the first Mishnah in Arvei Pesachim talks about, lo yochal, you're not allowed to eat samach lemincha, because you want to make sure that you're hungry for the night of the Seder. The Rashbam calls it a hidur mitzvah, which is an interesting phrase to use, to describe how when one eats matzah b'teyavon, that's a hidur mitzvah. You have to figure out what kind of hidur mitzvah it is. Normally hidur mitzvah is a hidur in the cheftza shel mitzvah, that you have a more beautiful cheftza shel mitzvah. Apparently there's a hidur mitzvah in attitude, that when one approaches something with a sense of excitement, that too on some level is considered a hidur mitzvah. But leaving that aside, the Shulchan Aruch paskins exactly like Tosfos, like you would expect, that you're not allowed to eat a lot of food on Erev Pesach late in the day. The yayin ma'at lo yishta. You're not allowed to drink small amounts of wine because it will fill you up. Avalim ratz lishtos yayin harbe shosa. You want to drink a lot of wine? That would be wonderful. However, the Torah writes that yayin mutar lishtos hein rav o ma'at. That you're allowed to drink a lot, a little, whatever you want, it's all good, it will make you hungry. It's gorer taiva samaychel. So the question is, how are we to understand that Torah? Isn't it directly against our Gemara? Our Gemara said that if you drink a little bit of wine, it's going to make you full, it's not going to make you hungry. So there are a few approaches. The Beis Yosef writes, right there on that tour in Siman Tav Ayin Aleph, he says that it could be the efshar shashum mefarish cholek al svaras haTosfos v'usavur deported nami shami. It could be that someone disagrees with the svara of Tosfos and holds that even a small amount is mutter. The afal gav disoit ktsas eino soit kolkach sheye osar machmas kein l'shtoso berav Pesach misha asirus l'mayla. Meaning essentially what the Beis Yosef says is that yes, it's true, our Gemara says that when you drink a little bit of wine, it is sa'id, but maybe it's not sa'id to the level that would make it usher to have on Erev Pesach. That's very difficult, the Beis Yosef himself points out, because it's not like our Gemara was only about brachos, and you know we're just trying to apply this randomly to Hilchos Pesach. Our Gemara itself spoke about Erev Pesach. Remember, we were talking about how Rava was allowed to drink on Erev Pesach, and our Gemara said what? That Rava drank a lot, and that's why it was okay. But had he drunk a little, it would have been a problem. So Beis Yosef points out, V'hadar minan, v'arava, v'shasi chan, v'kol mal yom adepischa, lav l'meimra demisa desayid, havasa l'mishti. It's not saying that had Rava drunk less, it would have been aser. What it's saying is, what the Gemara was asking is that Rava wasn't stam drinking. Rava was drinking with a purpose. His purpose was to be more hungry. So the Gemara's kasha was, how could it be that wine is sa'id at all, that wine fills you up at all? Rava was trying to achieve the opposite goal when he drank wine. He was trying to become more hungry when he drank wine. Oh, so the Gemara answers, yeah, when you have a little bit of it, it's sa'id. When you have a lot of it, it will make you more thirsty. But even the little bit of it that's sa'id is not sa'id so much that you're not allowed to do that in Erev Pesach. It's sa'id a little bit. It fills you up like any other drink will fill you up. And you're allowed to drink other drinks on Erev Pesach also. Most other drinks, though, when you drink a lot of them, don't make you more hungry. What's unique about wine is that when you drink a lot of it, it makes you more hungry, and that was the purpose of Rava drinking it. But when you drink a little bit of it, it's like any other drink, where, yeah, it fills you up somewhat, but not to the point that it's going to be a problem on Erev Pesach. That is the Beis Yosef's. That is the Beis Yosef's approach. The Bach quotes from the Marshal the second approach, that on Erev Pesach you're always drinking a lot. No matter how little you drink, it's always a lot. Why? By the time you eat matzah, you've had a minimum of 2 kosos of wine, plus whatever you drink on Erev Pesach. So there's no such thing as drinking a little bit on Erev Pesach. Right? And therefore, the Torah can say, no matter what you drink on Erev Pesach, hein rav, hein ma'at, it's okay, because it's never ma'at. It's always rav. Meaning, even if you only drink a little bit before Pesach, when you put that with the first 2 kosos, that becomes rav. See, we were never magdir in the Gemara, what's called rav? How much is a lot? But it could be that more than 2 kosos, by definition, is already a lot. And therefore, on that might be the explanation of the Torah. And again, when the Gemara says, how could Rava have drunk on Erev Pesach? The Gemara says, well, he drank a lot. Lav dafka, that he was, you know, binge drinking on Erev Pesach. It could be that he had a little bit on Erev Pesach, and by definition, it was a lot. That's the Marshal's approach. And the third approach, just to close the loop over here, is the Shita of the Ravya, where the Ravya suggests that we're reading the Gemara incorrectly. We read the Gemara that Chamra Tuva Garir Uporta Masbia. Right, that if you have a lot of wine, it makes you hungry. A little bit of wine satiates you. He says, no, that's not what we're trying to say. What we're trying to say is tuva garir, meaning wine will make you very hungry, and porta masbia, and will only satiate you a little bit. Not distinguishing between how much wine or how little wine, but how much of an effect it has on you. That it will be tuva gavri. It will really, you know, tuva could mean when you drink a lot of it, or it could mean it will do a lot of something to you. It will be gavri you a lot. It will certainly make you thirsty. And porta masbia. And it will make you a little bit full, but don't worry, that's going to be outweighed by how much it's going to make you hungry. So regardless, hein rav, hein ma'at, whether you drink a lot or whether you drink a little, the overall effect of the wine is going to be to make you more hungry rather than to fill you up. Right, so those are the three approaches. If Sachs quotes them all in Orchos Yamim, those are the three approaches to how to explain that tour.
Where is that Rav?
What's the Maramakam of the Rav Yah? So he quotes it from Simen Kuf Nun. And the Bach on the side of the Torah says it without quoting the Rabbi. He says the same part. Harbe hu gorer purta sa'id, klomer ma'at hu sa'id. Avalein chilik bin rav l'ma'at. There's no difference between the kamlos, the actual amount that one drinks. That's an interesting take, but, you know, totally different take on the Gemara, obviously. But you know, that would certainly solve the problem if that's what the Torah is thinking. Okay, so, yeah.
How does Marshal read the Gemara? Because the Marshal is saying that the pshat is that you can, it doesn't make a difference if you drink or not, right? Because you're going to be,
it's always going to be a lot.
Yeah, so how do you read the Gemara that says don't drink? Because, Gemara says you're not supposed to drink a little bit. Like, how would it...
What did the Gemara say? The Gemara said, Rav Abba Shasi Chamra Kol Mali Yom Adepischa Kiechi Dinegre Livei V'nechol Matzah Tvei. Yes, what's the problem?
Doesn't the Gemara say you're not supposed to drink at all? Wait, no, that's just talking about a little bit. Or was it?
I don't know.
Okay, so never mind.
But it was just addressing Rava, and it said that he would drink on Erev Pesach. So the Gemara explains the reason he was able to do that was because Tuva Garir Purta Sayyid. So the Marshal's understanding is that Tuva Garir, and by definition it was Tuva, it had to have been a lot. So we had mentioned parenthetically in the course of this Gemara, and that's why we come back to Ugufa, that Ridom Shmuel, when we're trying to figure out Baruch Pri HaGafen and what makes wine so different than grapes, so the closest basis for comparison that we could think of was olives and olive oil. So we had mentioned that when one eats olive oil, there is no special bracha. What bracha do you say on olive oil? Bari Priya Eitz. So the Gemara says, wait just a second, let's back up a moment. Bari Priya Eitz on olive oil? Who on earth eats olive oil? And if it's not something that people would eat and it's disgusting, then you wouldn't say a bracha on it at all. So the Gemara raises the question over here, Gufa, Amar Rabbi Damar Shmuel, V'chein Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shemen Zayis, Mevarkam Labor Priya Eitz. Hei Chidami! What exactly is the case? So the Gemara has four possibilities. It rejects the first three. Possibility number one is, we're not going to read it all inside because we want to get into the sugya a little bit. Possibility number one is that maybe it means you drink it straight. So the Gemara says that can't be because it's azuke azikle. It's going to damage you. It's going to hurt you if you drink it straight. You would not say a bracha of barapriya eitz on something that's only going to harm you. Then the Gemara says, okay, maybe it's when you have it with bread. You know, sometimes you go to a restaurant and they have like fresh, nice bread out and they have like a little dip. Sometimes that dip is really nothing more than olive oil. So that's a normal thing to do, to dip some bread in some olive oil. Maybe that's the case, the Gemara says. No, the Gemara says that can't be the case, because then you would never say Bar Priya Eitz. What bracha would you say? Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, and obviously it would be covered with the Su'udah. Then the Gemara says, maybe you're using the olive oil as an ingredient in your anigron, which is some type of mixture of oil and vegetables or beet juice or whatever, and yeah, as part of an ingredient in your anigron, you say a bar priya eitz. Says the Gemara, that can't be either, because olive oil is not the majority or primary ingredient in the anigron. The primary majority ingredient in the anigron is beets or vegetables, cooked vegetables. It's not the olive oil. Olive oil may be used as part of it, it's part of the ingredients, but it's not, it's certainly a tafel. It's certainly not the ikur. So then the Gemara finally settles on and says, it is in your anigron. You are using it in your anigron, and it's the ikur. Because you're not feeling well, and you put the oil in the anigron for refuah. So let's see that part inside. Right? The Gemara in the fourth line of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Hacha b'mayaskinan b'choshesh b'grono. Person's throat hurts him. D'tanya choshesh b'grono lo ya'arenu b'shemen t'chila b'shabbos. One is not allowed to gargle oil on Shabbos when his throat hurts, because, as Rashi says, lo ya'arenu b'shemen b'shabbos d'mashi le'b'toch grono, to leave it in your throat, meaning to gargle it. Ve'eino bolo, and not swallow it. V'kivin t'lo bolo le'muchacha milsa d'l refuahu. It is an overt act of refuah. It is an obvious act of refuah when you gargle it. The chum gozra al kol refuas anikaros mishum shchik asav manim. Interesting. The chum where gozra on any refuah hanikaros. Rashi's magdir the issur of refuah on Shabbos. That there's no issur of refuah on Shabbos. There's an issur of refuah hanikaros. Anything that looks like refuah, which is interesting. Whenever you have gzeros midrabanan, so gzeros midrabanan come in different forms. Sometimes the Rabbanan were gozer something because doing this will lead you to do the Isra Daraisa. They're making a gzera to protect the Isra Daraisa. When you do this, you will come to do the Daraisa. Sometimes it's not that you will come to, it's not that this behavior will lead you to the Daraisa, but that this behavior resembles the Isra Daraisa. It resembles the Daraisa. Meaning, I can gargle olive oil all I want, and it's not going to lead me to grind up herbs to make medication. But it resembles the taking regular medication on Shabbos. It resembles the act of taking medication on Shabbos. Any refuah hanikeres is going to be problematic. Now, if I'm having chicken soup because my throat hurts, so that's perfectly fine. I'm eating chicken soup because but it's refuah. Yeah, but it's not refuah hanikeres. So mele, it's not going to be a problem. Yeah.
Why there a banan asr if it's not going to lead you to do the asr?
So again, sometimes they asr when something leads you to do the asr. Sometimes they asr because not that this act leads to that act, but that in a direct way, that if I do this, I will come to, like, I'm singing and dancing, the instrument breaks, I'm going to come to fix it, right? This act will lead to that. Sometimes it's that this act resembles a daraisa, so it will lead to it in that way. Not as a direct, because I'm doing this, it's going to naturally lead to the malacha, but that in my mind, I'm going to associate this with the same action as the malacha. That the two are similar enough to each other that I'm going to associate them with each other. That's also a form, right? Any refuah hanikeres, not anything that makes you feel, but any refuah hanikeres, the Rabbanan think is going to be worthy of a gezeira, even though probably it's not going to lead you directly, But when it's nikeres, when it's clearly an overt act of refuah, you will associate that with refuah. It happens to be, and then what? And if you actually do a real, well, okay, yeah. So that would be included in the gezeiros. So that's how Rashi says refuah nikeres mishum shchikas hamanim shi malacha. Shchikas hamanim itself is a malacha. So the Gemara says that you're not allowed to gargle on Shabbos. Aval nosein shemen harbe l'tocha nigron ubaleya. But what you're able to do is, if your throat hurts, put a lot of oil, a lot more than you normally would, a lot of oil in the anigron, and then you could be baleya. Then you can swallow it if you put a lot of oil in the anigron. Now, how much is harbe? Meaning, this is the case where you say bar pia eitz. You're going to drink the anigron, and it's got more oil than usual, and the reason it has more oil than usual is because oil has therapeutic value. It's the active ingredient in the mixture that's going to actually make you feel better. How much is shemen harbe? Well, obviously, I'm not asking for. So, does it have to be rov? Right. So that's question number one. The Gemara doesn't say. In order to say a bracha on the item that you're obviously having this anigron only because you want the shemen. Does the shemen have to be the rov in order to recite a bracha on it, or is it enough that it's your primary kavana? So it just says more shemen than usual, shemen harbe.
Yeah.
Oh, so let's see. So says the Gemara, pshita. So then, isn't it obvious that you're going to make a bar priya eitz? Meaning, if you're putting oil in order to eat the oil, in order to have the oil as a refuah, so isn't it obvious that the bracha would be eitz? Says Gemara, no, it's not obvious. Mal detema kibin de la refuah kamechavein la liver chalei klal. One might have thought that since your intention is for refuah, you should not say a bracha on it at all. Kamash malon kivan de islay hana aminei bay bruche. Kamash malon, that you're right. Typically, when your intention is for refuah, you would not say a bracha. But when your intention is for refuah and you get hana'a from it, then you do say a bracha. So if your intention is for refuah, but there's still hana'a, then you recite a bracha. Meaning the intention for refuah is not a p'tur from a bracha. It's lack of hana'a would be a p'tur from a bracha. As Rashi says, "Disay hana minei levad harefuah." Obviously, you get hana'a; your throat feels better. So he says, "No. I mean hana'a aside from the fact that your throat feels better. Yesh lo hana'a sachila. You have hana'a of actually enjoying the food as well. Good. So this is the Gemara. The sugya comes up again on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, where the Gemara talks about shesisa, which is a food that's made from some sort of toasted wheat kernels. And the Gemara says that Rav holds, you say Shakol Nia B'Dvaro, Shmuel says, you say Bar Minei Mizonos. And the Gemara says, oh, they're not arguing. Normally Rav and Shmuel, they are arguing, but over here they're not. If it's a thick mixture where it's taken B'Derech Achila, so then you would say a Mizonos. But if it's liquidy, if it's Raka, so someone pointed out that the Gemara says Bir Raka. You know, you're learning Brachas, you see Bez Reish Chafei, you see Bracha. No, it's Bir Raka. If it's a thinner mixture, it's a liquidy mixture, so then it would be l'refua, and therefore the bracha is shahakol. Whoa, wait a second. What just happened? In our Gemara we said, you put a lot of oil in, you're having the anigron l'refua, what bracha do you make? Ha'eitz. The Gemara Lamed Ches says that you have something l'refua, and it's no longer a mezonos, it's now a shahakal. Why? Just because it's a thinner mixture, it's going to be shahakal?
Thinness indicates what the purpose is.
And what's the purpose?
For
refuah. Does something, but because it's for refuah, it's going to be shahakal? In our Gemara, it was for refuah, and it was hayetz. The olive, right? Meaning, is there a rule that the bracha on medicine is shahakal? That's just a bracha on medicine, regardless of what the ingredients of the medicine are? Or no? Do we say the rule is that if you're having something for its medicinal value, your ikkar is defined as the active ingredient, and whatever bracha that active ingredient is the bracha that you would recite. If that active ingredient is oil, so then it's ha'etz. If that active ingredient, what is the active ingredient in shasisa? What was it? In what way was it therapeutic? So I assume to make it thin. Did Gemara say? Gemara didn't say, right? Did it say over there? Yeah, I don't think the Gemara said. Yeah, but it didn't say how do they thin it out? How do they make it liquidy? So probably they put in more water. So, and apparently the water has that therapeutic value, or the water may be absorbing some of the flavor of the... But if it were a thick, like porridge type of thing, where it's more grain heavy, then it would be mizonos and it wouldn't have the therapeutic value. Therapeutic value is only because water became a primary ingredient. Oh, what's the bracha on water? Shakal. Now that's against all the rules of Hilchos Brachos, normal rules of Hilchos Brachos. We're going to see in the Gemara, and we're going to see the Halacha, a very important sugya of Schnitzel. Kol sheyeshba mechameshes haminim. Anyone know the end of the sentence? Anything that has anything from the chamesh haminim, you always say mizonos. Even if it's not the rov. So what's going on with the shisina and daflam l'ches? What's the Gemara telling us over there? You have grain, right? You have grain that would normally be mizonos. But because it's a minority, you know, you're putting more water in, and your focus is on the water for refuah, it's shahakal. So just for clarity's sake, we have two sugyas. We have our Gemara that says that if you're making a mixture that has olive oil, and that's the active ingredient that will help you for refuah, kori priya eitz. We have a Gemara Lamed Ches, that you have a mixture. Active ingredient, apparently, is the water, and therefore, the bracha is going to be shakol nia bidvaro. It could be, though, that you can view this as a machlokas asugyas. I mean, the way I just said it right now, it sounds like they're saying the same thing. That whatever the active ingredient is that you're interested in is going to determine the bracha. But is that really what's going on in Daf Lamed Ches? Why is it therapeutic? Because it's water? If you're looking for the therapeutic value of water, you know what you should do?
Have water.
Right? No, it was water mixed. It's when you make this liquidy mixture of the grain and the water. So really, they're both active ingredients, apparently. It's just that if you make it too grain heavy, it's not going to have its therapeutic value. But really, they're both active ingredients. And therefore, midine brachos, the bracha should have been mizonos. But we don't follow dine brachos because it's medicine. And on medicine, you say shahakal. On medicine, you say shahakal. In which case, tavlam ches is against tavlam and hay. Because over here also, it's medicine. And yet you're still saying ha'et, you're not saying shahakal. Huge nafkamina, right? If you understand the first way that both sugis agree, so you just say, there's no rule that you say shahakal on medicine. The rule is that you say a bracha on whatever the active ingredient is, whatever your primary focus is. If you say the second way we just understood it, it's a machlokas asugyas, whether you say a bracha on the active ingredient or you just say a shakal because medicine is shakal, period, and then you're going to have to paskin which way we hold. So we have a lot to deal with. First of all, do you say a bracha on medicine? Second of all, what bracha do you say on medicine? Do we distinguish between a food that's taken lirafua purposes and a medication that's palatable? Meaning, is there a distinction between chicken soup versus dulcim cough medicine? It's a palatable cough syrup. Is there a difference between that? Do the ingredients of the medication, both the active or the inactive ingredients, play any role in what bracha you're going to say on the medication? What if the medication itself is awful tasting, but they dress it up with enough other ingredients that it becomes delicious? So the active ingredient is something that's absolutely awful, but they dress it up with enough other stuff that makes it delicious. Would there be a need to have rov shemen in order to say ha'etz? Would we follow rov, or is it just a lot of, but not necessarily rov shemen? Do we distinguish between adults and children? Pills and chewables? Do you say a bracha on water that you take to take down the medication? Right? All of these are issues that just like sort of jump out of the sugya that need to be dealt with. So not, you know, I don't have much lumdus here, just to try to, you know, draw halacha conclusions from these topics. Yeah.
You said that they were both agree. They were both agree that you make a bracha on whatever the ikur.
It would seem that way, yeah. Whatever the active ingredient is.
You just ignore Hilchos Brachos.
And you ignore Hilchos Brachos, yeah. That's what it would seem. Yeah. Now, the starting point, of course, is Tosos. Tosos over here, Dibra Masel Kevan. Kevan Dislay Anamine Boy Bruche, Vinirin Hadvarin. Dim Adam Shosa Mashkin, Ima Mashkin Roim Lishtos, the Lesley Anamine, Lo Boy Bruche, it should be Mashkin Lerefua, they have to add it. If a person drinks for Refua purposes, a Mashka, and it's disgusting, so there's no Ana whatsoever, no need for a Bracha. The Yisley Anamine Velo Refua Boy Bruche. But if you would get hana from it without the therapeutic value, meaning you get hana like a food, then you would have to recite a bracha. Good. That is that's Tosfos. Tosfos on Daf Lamed Ches. As far as grains are concerned, points out Tosfos Dibra Maschil V'ha. Right? Am I in the right place? Lamed Ches and Beis on the top, I think, right? No, where is it? Oh, Vaha. No, the bottom of Lamed Ches and Beis. Yeah. Vatanan Kala Ochlin. So Tosus points out over there that we see that things that are made from five grains but are not meant as achila get shahakal. Meaning, Tosus says, well, wait a second. How do we understand the shahakal over there? Kol sheish b'mechamesh is meaning we're supposed to get mezonos. So we so far suggested two possibilities. One possibility is the active ingredient is the water. And if the active ingredient is the water, that's what determines the bar. The other possibility was medicine is shahakal, period. Tos says a third possibility. Drinks are shahakal. Drinks are shahakal. And therefore Tos says, beer made out of grain, hops, shahakal. Liquor, scotch, shahakal. Because apparently the way Tos doesn't say in the Gemara, it's not a din hilchos medicine, it's din hilchos shtia versus hilchos achiva. Rav Shachta points out, you know, I'll get to it in a second. Rav Shachta points out that there's a Hasidic custom to recite Kiddush on Shabbos day on schnapps, and they use small shot glasses of schnapps to recite. Kiddush on schnapps. So what are they? So there are two issues with that. First of all, why are you allowed to use schnapps and not wine? Even if schnapps is chamar medina, which let's assume that it is, because it's a chash of a drink, but you're only allowed to use chamar medina when you don't have wine available. Okay, so that's kasha number one. Leave that aside. Let's assume that somehow it's okay. But even if you're using chamar medina, you need to have a revias. The shear to make kiddush on is a revias. Where's the revias? Those little shot glasses are 1 ounce. No one's sheet of revias is anywhere near 1 ounce. So the Taz writes in Simon Reish Yud that when it comes to bracha achrona on a drink, you also need to have a revis in order to recite a bracha achrona. But he says, when it comes to schnapps, you don't need a revis because it's not really a drink, it's like a food, and therefore it's shiro b'kazayis. Even if you have only kazayis, you would recite a bracha achrona on it. Because you don't drink it when you're thirsty, you drink it more like when you're trying to achieve a certain state of mind or whatever, but a drink is defined as that which you have when you're thirsty. And therefore, big nafkamina for soup. Is soup a drink or a soup a food? Which you say a bracha achrona on a kazayas of soup or a revias of soup. Right? So if you say that it's not something you drink when you're thirsty, that the shir would be kazayas, that's the Taz's big chiddush. That you would say a bracha achrona on a kazayas of schnapps. So comes along the Chuvas Eretz Tzvi, the Kazhe Glover Gon, Rav Arye Tzvi Frumer. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin after Rav Meir Shapiro, and he's a Talmud of the Avnei Nezer. So Rav Arye Tzvi Frumer says, and that explains the Hasidic custom of reciting Kiddush on an ounce, on a shot glass of schnapps. Because if the Taz says that because it's a food, it has chashivos with less than revius, which is the kazayas. So the same will true. The same will be true when it comes to kiddush. We'll have chashivos with just the kazayas. Comes along Rav Shachter and Be'ikve Etzon, and the Sefer Be'ikve Etzon, he says that it doesn't work. It doesn't match up, because in order for you to be yotzei kiddush, you need something to be chamar medina. What's chamar medina? Chamar medina means a common drink or a chashva drink that's had. If by definition your whole heter is based on the fact that you're not calling it a drink, that you think it as a din of a food, so then by definition it can't be chamar medina anymore. Meaning you've solved the problem of the shir, but now you've created a new problem that it can't be chamar medina because it's not a drink, it's a food. So he said, you know, it was a very sharp way to try to solve the problem, but it created a bigger problem in that context. But Tos saying like this similar idea, that, you know, we look at something as a drink and something that's a food in a very different way. And when it comes to a drink, Hilchos Brachos is that forget the ingredients. Drinks are shahakal. And that, except for wine, which is Bar Pri Hagafen. Otherwise, drinks are shahakal. So that, regardless of what it's made of, which is interesting because olive oil is ha'etz when had with, you know, when mixed with the anigrom, but probably he understands that was a food. That wasn't what? Yeah, it's not a drink. But drinks are shahakal, and therefore beer is shahakal, and everything else. If you're going to say that, drinks are right. So luchora, if you're going to say a shahakal on your schnapps, right? If you say a shahakal on your schnapps, then you can't use it for kiddush either, because you can't rely on the kashaglav or the taz that calls it a food. Because if it were a food, it would be mizonos, right? Instead, like if someone's going to try to make kiddush on it and say shahakal, what they're declaring openly when they say shahakal is, I hold, like Tosos, that this is a drink. Because it's liquid, it's a drink. If I hold it to drink, then shiuro bereviyus. The shiur should not be bekazayis, right? So you're really stuck l'chora. So the chassidus supposed to try to defend this minhag, but it's not an easy minhag to defend. It's a very challenging minhag to defend. What?
It would just be that it's a food in terms of chassidus, but that doesn't like practically drink.
Yeah, I'd say something like that. It would be the same as soup. That but most soup is shahakal. Right? Oh, we'll discuss, you know, vegetable soups or whatever. But I think, hopefully. Yeah.
Would one have to repeat kiddush if you heard kiddush from somebody making kiddush on shop? Did you say?
Probably you should have the ability to. When I'm at someone's house for Shabbos, they always say, "Would you like to make your own kiddush?" Right? It's like, and normally people always answer, "No, thanks. I'll be yotze with you." I say, "What are you making kiddush on?" If they're making kiddush on Shabbos, then I'd like to make my own on grape juice or something. Yeah. Grape juice is also not so posh, but that's a different discussion.
According to the sense of Tosfos, why is the Gemara mentioned Afula at all? Why do we care that because it's Rachas, it's Afula?
Why do we mention Rafua in that Gemara? Meaning, yeah, just the fact that it's Rachas, Shahakal, period, because it's a liquid. It's a drink. What does Tosfos say over here? Yeah, he said, I don't know, it's a great question. Mikol makom lo yivarech al shahakol kivin she'eino asui lisod, ki im lishtos. Vim kein, kol dover sheish b'mech ha-mech z'minim v'eino asui lisod, ki im lishtos, ki gon sheikhar chiyatzu v'mbarach shahakol. Ki agavno pasuk b'hag. Yeah, it's a great question. That's a great question. L'chor of the Gemara is emphasizing the refuah part. It didn't need to. If the whole point is that anytime something becomes a liquid, it's automatically a shahakol, it's irrelevant whether it's the shame refuah or not, right? Once you say it's rakel, period. So it's a shakel. Right? So the chora, the tosis is against the pasuk of the gemara. It's a very good question. Not sure. Okay. So now going on to bracha on medicine. The Beis Yosef in Siman Reish Dalet quotes two days in Rishonim over here. First, Beis Yosef quotes. Oh boy, it gets late early. First, the Beis Yosef quotes from Rabbeinu Yeruchim. Second, he quotes from Rabbeinu Yeruchim, but we'll mention it first. that you never say a medication on a bracha. Never say a bracha on a medication. Scratch that, reverse it. You never say a bracha on a medication. Why not? Why would you never say a bracha on a medication? So it says Tosos, says the Beis Yosef, Rabbein Yeruchim Kosav, Vizel Shono, Shasa Shum Dovel Rafua, O Achal, Lo Yevarech Alav. Can't say a bracha whether you eat or drink a medication. No bracha. Why? She'im hu davar asur v'yachlo shalom b'makom sakana. Because no medicine is kosher. So if you're eating a non... Right, he just makes his leap. Medicine's not kosher. So if you're eating a davar asur for a medication, you're eating a non-kosher medication, and it's shalom b'makom sakana, who gave you such a heter? Lo yivarech, don't make a bracha on it. V'imu b'makom sakana, and if it is b'makom sakana, so your life is in danger, so you have to eat it, gam kein lo yivarech, also don't make a bracha. V'zaklo, kol midi de l'rfua lo yivarech alav. Whenever it's v'rfua, you don't say a bracha. Why does he bring up the sakana issue? L'chorah, what he's saying has nothing to do with sakana. Meaning his point is, the next line, why do you not say bracha? K'dar amrinan, hay man d'chankose umtza. What's the end of the sentence, though? He doesn't quote. Well, what happens? Chankasa yomtza means you're choking on a bone. So you need water to stop choking. Say bracha on it. Let's assume you're able to audibly get out the bracha. Right? So you feel like you're coughing. You just need water to stop choking. You say bracha? No. Because you're just drinking. Stop choking. You're drinking for some purpose other than nourishing yourself. And when you drink for a purpose other than nourishing yourself, there's no bracha. Therefore, says Rabbi Yerucham, no bracha on medication. Period. What does he do with the Gemara? So what you have to say is both the Gemara Lamed Hei and the Gemara Lamed Ches are talking about where you're drinking for a dual purpose. Because you're having something that's a food also, or a drink, as the case may be. So it's not only to stop choking. It's to make yourself feel better, and it's also nourishing you. But if it's purely just to make yourself feel better, but it's not to nourish you, there will be no bracha at all. Beis Yosef takes strong issue with Rabbi Yeruchim, and he says, I don't get what this whole discussion is about makom sakana and not makom sakana. He says, you know, the idea that there's no bracha when eating for sakana, first of all, is incorrect, he says. The Rush holds that a cholish yesh basakana says a bracha and benches on Yom Kippurim. He's eating on Yom Kippur. He says a bracha benches. Kiva Eger about saying kiddush. Is it that you have to say kiddush because it's a yontif and you got to say kiddush, or do you say that no, they were never masakin a kiddush for Yom Kippurim? Okay, but you do say a birchas hananin. The Rush holds, and even though the Rambam holds that when you eat macholos asuros, there's no bracha against the Ravid. The Ravid holds that you would say a bracha machol. The only food you have is a cheeseburger, or you have such a yitzhar for a cheeseburger, you're going to eat it. Do I say a bracha? I got the shayla more than once, where someone asked that I'm going to eat something non kosher. I just have a taiva for it. Do I say a bracha? Usually, someone on the path to tshuva, but not too far on the path, right? Do I say a bracha on it? So the Rambam holds that when you eat machol suros, no bracha. The Ravid says yes, but he says the Beis Yosef, even the Rambam would be moda if you're dangerously ill. So for you, it's heter gamur. Meaning you could distinguish between eating on Yom Kippur versus eating a cheeseburger, even if it's pikuach nefesh. See, when you eat on Yom Kippur, you're eating chetza shel heter b'shas isur. The food you're eating is kosher, it's just a shas isur. When you're eating a cheeseburger, you're eating chetza shel isur. So it could be that a bracha can't be chal on a chetza shel isur. But a bracha can be chal on a chetza shel heter. There is such a svar in Rishonim. When they talk about the use of los achile, some of the Rishonim hold, I think the Rashba and Yavam Skuf Yadal, if I'm not mistaken, holds that if you're feeding a child, there's nisud araisa to feed a child macholos asuros. But to feed a child in Yom Kippur would not be included in that nisud araisa. Because it's not macholos asuros, it's not a chetza shel iser. It's nisud los achile, the Gemara discusses. That it's not a chefza shel iser that I'm feeding him. I'm feeding him a chefza shel heter, kosher food. It just happens to be Yom Kippur. Or I'm feeding a child outside the sukkah. I'm going to discuss it. I'm feeding a child outside the sukkah on sukkahs. So it's not a chefza shel iser. It's just a circumstance of iser. Right? There is room to distinguish. But nevertheless, Beis Yosef says, L'chora, if one is dangerously ill and one is having non-kosher medicine, they would say a bracha anyway. But besides for that, none of this, that has nothing to do with our real issue over here. Because as it points out, our Gemara is clear, tasty things for refuah get a bracha. If something tastes good and you're having it for refuah, you recite a bracha on it. Then the Beis Yosef goes on to say that if it's a medication that's not a machal bria, meaning it's not something that a healthy person would eat, the bracha is always going to be shahakal regardless of the ingredients. If it's not something a healthy person would eat, bracha is always going to be shahakal regardless of the ingredients. Where does he get that from? Lamed Ches. Meaning, he's bothered by Tosfos Kasha, and he has a different teretz. Tosfos says, oh, you know why it's shahakal? Because it's a drink. Even though it has chamesh saminim. Says Beis Yosef, no, it's shahakal because it's medicine. It's not a food anymore. It's medicine. Oh, Lamed Hey, you're eating a food. So when you're eating a food for medical purposes, you're having chicken soup, you say the bracha on chicken soup. You're having a hot tea, you say the bracha on a hot tea. Because those are foods. But, on Lamed Ches, we're talking about having a medicine, a medication that you would never eat if you were healthy. If it tastes good, but it's a medication, bracha is shahakal. Regardless of what the ingredients are. So great, so you expect that the Beis Yosef, quoting that, would mention this in Shulchan Aruch. But guess what? It doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch, in the words of the Mechaber, only in the Ramah. The Ramah, in Siman Reish Dalid, Sif Yod Aleph, the Ramah writes, V'kol merkachas she'ein brim regilin bo, medications that healthy people don't eat, elo l'refuah, unless they need to get a refuah, mevarach l'lof shakol. You automatically say shakol, and he says, Beis Yosef b'shem rush. So Rav Avadia points out that even though this comes from Beis Yosef, Mechaber doesn't quote it, and therefore, probably, Sfardim shouldn't paskin this way. Sfardim should rather paskin like Tosfos, that anything that's a liquid maybe is a shakol, but if it's a solid medication, you'd follow the ingredients. And Mishra Brura for Ashkenazim in Sukkot Nenei writes, Ayin Bedek Abayi Shekosef Sharov HaPoskim Chol Kimal Zeh V'chein Eskimu Acharim Tzarek Levarek Lev Bracha Haru Uyelo Kivin Shal Kol Panam Nene, that you would say the right bracha on it, you would not say a shahakal automatically. So the Ramah holds you say a shahakal, and that's the way he understands the Gemara and Bracha Staf Lamed Ches Lich Ora. And again, why is eitz on the anigron? Because that's a michel briam. It's something that a healthy person would eat. Now, does the shemen get a eitz even if it's a muat, even if it's a miut of the mixture? So that the Magen Avraham in Siman Reish Beis of Cut and Test says yes. It doesn't need to be a rove, but he says, you know, it sounds from the rush otherwise. What does it mean? It sounds from the rush otherwise. The Machsa Shekel elaborates. Points out that the Rush in Siman Chav Gimel over here, I'm going to speak quickly now, that the Rush in, what? Magen Avraham is in Siman Reish Beis of Katan Tes, that you would say a Ha'etz even if Shemen is a Miut, even if it's not the majority of the mixture. He says the Rush sounds otherwise. The Rush sounds like he holds otherwise. What Rush? Where does the Rush sound like he holds otherwise? So Machsa Shekel points out, he's referring to the Rush here in Perek Ketz HaMevarchin in Siman Chav Gimel, where the Rush asks on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if a person eats vinegar, if a person drinks vinegar, he should say shahakal. And the Rush says, what on earth is a person doing drinking vinegar? He says, you know the Mishnah in Yuma says that if you drink vinegar on Yom HaKippurim, you're potter? Why? Because it's not food, it's not achila. In that context, it talks about like chewing cinnamon sticks. You know, it's wood, it's Eitz Ba'alma. Vinegar is not a food. So the Rosh says, I understand. How can you say shahakal and vinegar? So the Rosh has several answers. In one of his answers, he says, the case is, you put chometz harbe into marak. You put a lot of vinegar into soup and you drink it for a fuah. Just like, he says, just like shemen zayis ba'anigron. Apparently he understands shemen ba'anigron to be exactly the same as chometz harbe into marak. Now, chometz harbe into marak, does that mean the majority is vinegar? Doesn't sound like it. A lot of, but not the majority. I'm sorry. No, Chametz Harbi, he's understanding, means that it's the majority. He says that's why the Rush sounds like you would need it to be specifically the majority. It would need to be Shemen Harbe, just like Chametz Harbe, where it would actually become the majority. At the end of the day, how do we paskin in terms of brachas to make on medication? So certain things are obvious. If you're taking something that's a food, and a normal person would eat, you say whatever bracha it's supposed to have. If you're taking something that's disgusting, doesn't taste good at all, then obviously you would not recite a bracha. Question becomes, what if you're having something that is a medication, you would never normally otherwise eat it, but now you are eating it because you're sick, but it also happens to be tasty. So if it has some sort of sweetness, you would never eat it otherwise. This is a machlokas aposkim. Shlomo Zalman Orbach held, you don't make a bracha on it, it's not derech achila. However, Rav Eliashiv, many others, paskin otherwise, that you are getting hanah from it, and the truth is, you know, it's hard to derive from our Tosfos what the halacha would be, because our Tosfos was talking about something that's actually a food and isn't just a pure medication. So it's hard to derive. The Gemara never really directly addresses it, unless you read the Gemara in Lamed Ches that way. But many poskim assume that one would say a bracha on it. That is the shita of Rav Eliashiv. He has a raya from a Me'iri in our sugya. The Me'iri in our sugya writes, V'kol ma shenasa l'refua. And this is quoted in source number 12, in the second paragraph of source number 12, if you want to look at it later. V'kol ma shenasa l'refua im yesh ba hana'as tam k'tsas. You would say a bracha, mevarech, the Me'iri says. Meaning, if there's some flavor to your refuah, not to a food, to your refuah, you would say a bracha. That's what it sounds like from the Me'iri. And therefore, many, many poskim hold that one would recite a bracha on such a medication. Just two final points. When one is drinking water in order to take down a medication, in order to swallow a pill, L'chore, that is the same as water not to choke and will not require a shahakol. But one might want to take a few sips beforehand, and that way you avoid any sort of suffix brachos whatsoever by reciting a shahakol on that water. There is a discussion of poskim, what about seltzer? Is seltzer the same as water? Or do you say, no, it's spitzy water, you know, so it's maybe different? So that's the discussion. Poskim, most of the poskim would say that even on seltzer, you would not recite a bracha. And the final issue, just to point out, there's another thing that one might say when having medication. In Siman Reish Lamed, Si'if Dalid, the Shulchan Aruch says as follows, and a lot of people maybe aren't aware of this. Shulchan Aruch writes, Hanichnas lahak is done. If someone goes to do bloodletting, Omer yehi ratzon milfanecha Hashem Elokai sheyehei esek zeli lerefua ki rofei chinamata, that this should work as a refua. Hashem, you daven that it should work for ulach shehigiz yomar baruch rofei cholim. Says the Mishnah Brura, vuadin bekol midi de refua yomar zeh v'lo liyachshuv shetia ezer davar lo refua ela al yidei aborius baruch shemo. We should always remember that all refuas are from Hashem, and that there is a practice quoted in Shulchan Aruch that a person should verbalize that before taking any medication. That seems like a very beautiful practice and an appropriate thing to do before taking a medication, to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of all refuah. Okay.